We want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be focusing on verses 22 through 25. We want to take a little break, a little step back. If you notice the sign outside as you came in, some of you were coming the wrong way, but those that came the other way and saw the sermon title, preaching like Paul. And now especially, a lot of you say, I'm not a preacher. Especially you ladies say, well, I'm not even supposed to be a preacher. That's the Bible tells the men to be the preacher and elders and deacons and things. And why, that's not a lesson for me. Well, we use the word preaching like Paul because Paul certainly was a preacher. He traveled around everywhere preaching. But what if we said sharing the good news like Paul? What if we said that? Because even if you're not the preacher, even if you're not a preacher, you're still supposed to be sharing the good news, aren't you? Everybody can do that. Everybody that's a Christian is supposed to do that. And so, if we think about it that way, that'll change maybe the way we look at it instead of thinking, well, preacher, I'm not the preacher. We're all preachers in the sense that we're supposed to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And saying the good news of the gospel is a little redundant because the word gospel actually means good news. In the word that it's translated from actually means good news. So, I said, sharing the good news of the good news. But it is. It's good news. And sometimes we don't always act like that. Now, even though our scripture is 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 25, for the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, there are a lot of people out there in our day and age especially, and it was the same way in Paul's day and age. Same day in old Corinth, just like it is in Corinth today here. That there are people that look at God's plan, they look at His scriptures, they look and they say, that's foolish. That's the most ridiculous thing. You're talking about a virgin birth. You're talking about a guy died and rose from the grave. That's ridiculous. But God's foolishness is wiser than men. They can't get it. They can't understand it because they're thinking of things in worldly terms. And God's weakness. What kind of God sends a Savior to save His people and then lets that Savior get killed? That's not very strong. The mighty king's supposed to come in conquering everybody else, not getting killed. So the world looks at the weakness of God. But that's the strength of God. But it's different than the way the world perceives things. And so he says, we preach Christ crucified. It's considered folly. It's a stumbling block. It was a stumbling block to many of the Jews. They could not understand how their king, their Messiah, the one who was supposed to come and save them, could be killed. They just couldn't get it. How important is it to share the good news? Let's consider this. This is from the Old Testament. We'll probably look at this particular story a little more next week in class. But 2 Kings 7, 3 through 16, the whole section there about some lepers that were out of the camp because they couldn't be in the camp. And they found out there was an army surrounding the city. And these poor lepers were about to starve to death. And they said, let's go out there to the army and we'll just surrender ourselves to them. So they go out there because they're like, we're going to starve to death anyway. So if they kill us, we're no worse off. We're dying of this horrible leprosy stuff anyway. And we're starving to death on top of that. At least if they kill us, it'll be quick. So let's just go out there. We'll just go out there and surrender. They walked out to the army camp that was surrounding the city of Jerusalem. It was so bad that there was no food anywhere in the city of Jerusalem. They were eating donkeys' heads and doves' dung. That's how bad it was. I know those two things that you probably had planned for lunch today, right? No, I don't think so. Never want to eat that. But that's how bad it was. They were so hungry. That's what they were eating. And so these guys go out there and they say, We're going to just surrender ourselves. They get out there. The camp is empty. There's food everywhere. There's gold and clothes and all sorts of stuff, just everywhere. And the people are all gone. And so they start, you know, what do? You start stuffing your mouth first, right? Then you start stuffing your pockets and your bag. And, you know, you start looking for a cart to load up. Oh, let's get all this stuff. And then they got to thinking, you know, those people over there in the city are starving to death. We need to go tell them this good news. And so they decided to go and tell the people of the city about the good news that, hey, there's food right outside there. And that army that had the city besieged is gone. And it's safe to come out. Of course, there's a lot more involved with that. But they found everything. They found all of that. And they told it. What kind of people would they have been if they had just kept it to themselves and let the people in the city starve to death? Now, I know there's, you probably know somebody who would have done just that. There's, hey, I'll just keep it to myself. They'll all starve to death. I'll be rich. I'll have everything. There's some people out there that are like that. Certainly hope we're not any of those kind of people, but we probably know some people like that. Certainly, even if we don't know them personally, we know of some people like that for sure. But what kind of people would that be if they didn't share that good news? Now let's think about that a little bit as we think about what 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 25 said. We have some good news too. We preach, we share the good news of Christ crucified. But the question is, do we? Now see, all around us out here in the world are people who, spiritually speaking, are as in bad a shape as those people in Jerusalem were. They're starving to death. Spiritually, all they have to eat is the equivalent of a donkey's head and a dove's dung. That's what they're living on spiritually. Physically, they may live in better houses than we do. They may drive better cars than we do. They may have better clothes than we do. They may have a better job than we do. You know, physically, they may not, you know, we might think, well, they need to help me out. But spiritually, they're in bad shape. And they need to hear some good news. Now, obviously, some people won't believe the good news. There was one fellow in that story in 2 Kings that He didn't believe the good news when it was told. It was actually prophesied ahead of time that it was going to happen, and he laughed and mocked the prophet and said, that can't happen. There will be people who will laugh and mock and talk about God's foolishness and His weakness and no, I've got real strength and I don't need, you know, that religion stuff, that's just a crutch for weak-minded fools and things like that. There will be people like that. But that's not our concern. Our concern is sharing the good news. Christ was crucified so that we might live. So let's think about Paul. If we're going to be like Paul, Paul is probably, he's such an honored figure in religion, in Christianity as a whole. So many people talk about the Apostle Paul. Oh, wouldn't it be great to see the Apostle Paul? Wow, what would it be like to hear the Apostle Paul preach? Wouldn't it be nice to have a good preacher instead? You know, have Paul come. That kind of thing. People look at Paul and they admire him and they look up to him. And no, he was a great Christian. He was a great leader in the church. He helped spread the gospel all over. But I think sometimes we have a warped view of what it'd be like to have Paul around. Imagine this. The eldership of a certain congregation receives a letter. They're looking for a new preacher. And so they get this letter that says the following. I understand your church is looking for a preacher. I'd like to submit my name to be considered. I'm generally considered to be a pretty good preacher, though some people say my speech is contemptible and that physically I'm weak. But I been a leader in most of the places I've served. I've also found time to do some writing on the side. I'm over 50 years of age, and while my health isn't the best, I still manage to get enough work to done to please the congregations where I've served. As for a reference, I'm somewhat handicapped. I've never served in any place for more than 3 years, and the churches where I have preached generally have been pretty small, even though they were in large cities. Some places I had to leave because my ministry caused riots and disturbances. When I did stay, I didn't always get along with the religious leaders in town, which may influence the kind of references these places would send you. I've also been threatened several times and physically attacked on some occasions. 3 or 4 times I've gone to jail for what I preached. You need to know that there are some men who follow me around causing trouble everywhere I go and undermining my work. But still, I feel sure I can bring vitality to your church. If you can use me, I'd be pleased to be considered. Of course, the elders looked at that and said, "I don't want a preacher like that coming to town. This guy, he's a troublemaker, he's sickly, he's old jailbird. He couldn't possibly be a good, he couldn't do anything in the community, he couldn't be a good preacher for us. Well, who is this guy anyway?" And the elder that read the letter looked down at it and said, "Well, I'm not really sure, it's just signed Paul." You know, sometimes we have a very warped view, I guess you could say, of Bible characters, don't we? We've kind of taken all the pretty things, the good things, and we don't realize that, you know, there was a lot of conflict and a lot of strife and things stirred up in there. All right. Well, we just want to think about what Paul said about his preaching and how that applies to us. He preached Christ crucified, he says there in 1 Corinthians 1:22. Why did he preach that? What was the motivating factor that drove him? Back in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, he says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to those of you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So here we see Paul talking about why he does what he does. And are we like him? Do we think like he thinks? First of all, he says he was a debtor. He said, I owe it to these people to preach the gospel to them. Doesn't that seem odd? Do we think of it that way? We probably don't. We don't think, you know, these folks up and down the road around me, these folks I see every day where, when I go to the store or when I go to work or whatever, we don't think, you know what, I owe it to them. I'm indebted to them to preach the gospel to them, to share the good news of Christ crucified with them. Do we think that way? That's probably not. That's kind of a backwards way of thinking. We're thinking of it more like a salesman thing where, well, I've got this thing that everybody ought to want to come get. I've got this good news, and so everybody ought to want to come get the good news. Instead of thinking, you know what, I owe it to them. I've got to take it to them. And maybe that's just our, part of that mindset is our society's way of viewing things, our capitalist system where we're trying to sell something, you know, we're trying to make a profit on things. And maybe that's why it is. But Paul says, I'm a debtor to everybody, Greeks, barbarians, wise, unwise, all of the people out there who don't have the gospel. I'm in debt to them. I owe them the gospel. Do we feel that way? You know, that's kind of the way those guys back in 2 Kings felt. They said, you know, we owe it to these people. Well, why'd they owe it to them? I mean, they'd been kicked out of town because they had leprosy. We'd think, well, you don't owe them anything. They owe you because, you know, they kicked you out. But no, they thought, we owe it. We've got to take care of this. We've got to go tell these people. And that's the way Paul felt about being a Christian. So, a debtor, of course, is someone who owes something to someone else. How he claimed he was a debtor to these people. How could we think that kind of way? Well, what makes us obligated to share the good news of Christ crucified with other people? What is it? Why do we owe it to them? I mean, some of those people we've never even met. How could we possibly owe them anything? Well, we're obligated to them, first of all, because of God's goodness. We received God's goodness and His grace if we're saved, and we didn't deserve it. So we owe it to others to give them that gift as well. Same gift we received. Jesus said, freely have you received, freely give. We got a gift from God in the form of grace and salvation. We need to share that gift with other people. We need to give them the same gift. It's the gift that keeps on giving, so to speak. But we're also obligated because of our knowledge. It's the same way as if you're driving down the road and the bridge was out. As soon as you see that bridge is out and you stop, it's your obligation, because you have knowledge that the other people coming down the road behind you don't have, it's your obligation to stop them and warn them about that danger. The same thing here. We have knowledge of how people can be saved that they may not have. And if they don't have it, they need it. They need to have that knowledge. We're obligated because of Christ's command. He commanded us to go into all the world. He commanded us to tell others this good news. Sometimes we don't feel very obligated, though, do we? We don't feel like debtors. We don't feel like we owe it to anybody. But we do. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, be always ready to give an answer. Always ready. And that brings us to the next thought that Paul says. After he says, I'm a debtor, then he says in verse 15, I am ready. So are you ready? Are you ready to share the good news of the cross of Christ? Well, I know any of us can do the simple thing of saying, hey, you know, Jesus died for you. Jesus died on the cross and He rose again. Any of us can do that. But are we ready to back it up? Are we ready to go to the Scriptures and talk about it? And a lot of people say, well, no, I'm not really ready in that way. But this also carries the idea of ready in the sense of eager. You know, one of the problems I have sometimes is I'm ready to eat before I'm ready to eat. I'm eager to eat, I'm hungry, and I want to eat before the food's ready for me to eat it. And so I'm ready before I'm ready. We need to be eager to share the good news. And because we're eager to share the good news, we'll prepare to share the good news. Just like when we get hungry, if there's no food prepared, we'll prepare some food. All right, we're running out of time. We spent too much time on announcements earlier. I'm not going to blame Bobby for that. You know, I spent too much time on backup announcements after the announcements. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be eager, and we've got to prepare. Those two things go hand in hand. If you're not hungry, you may not think about wanting to fix something to eat. That's my problem, is I don't think about fixing something to eat until I'm hungry. And then I should have fixed something to eat an hour ago and it would have been ready now. But instead, now I've got to wait another hour of being hungry before it's ready. Or I've got to throw something quick in the microwave that's junk food and not healthy for me, which, as you can tell by looking at me, I've done way too much of. And so, but we think about those kind of things. Are we ready? Are we eager? You know, we wonder sometimes, why don't we reach more? Why isn't the church growing more? Why aren't more people coming to Christ? Maybe it's because instead of being eager to share the good news, we're reluctant to share it. We're not really ready to share it. If we're eager, God will give us the opportunities to teach and to share the good news. In fact, chances are, this past week, all of us had an opportunity, or two, or five, or ten, but we weren't eager, we weren't ready. And then, of course, in verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the cross of Christ. You know, being crucified on a cross was a shameful thing. To think that the leader of your religion was executed like a horrible criminal. That sounds like something you ought to be ashamed of, doesn't it? You know, if somebody in your family was executed as a criminal, you tend to be ashamed of that person. You get the black sheep of the family, right? And a lot of times, it's not even that bad. Maybe it was somebody went to jail, or maybe it was somebody, you know, they did one, you know, something. They just did some things they shouldn't have done. Maybe, and you just, you're kind of ashamed of that member of the family because maybe they're addicted to drugs. Maybe, you know, whatever it is, and you think, I'm just kind of ashamed of that member of the family. Here, the founder of our religion died a criminal's death, and it's tempting to kind of be ashamed of that. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the cross of Christ. In fact, he said, if I glory, if I boast, if I'm going to brag about something, what I'm going to brag about is that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That seems like a strange thing to brag about. Huh? Says something about who you are when you hear what you brag about. The things we brag about determine what kind of people we are. And Paul says, that's what I'm going to brag about. But are we ashamed instead? He said, I'm not ashamed because the gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone. You know, my dad didn't grow up as a Christian. My mother did. And somewhere, probably 50 some years ago now, she shared the gospel with him. And because of that, he became a Christian and even became a preacher of the gospel himself. But she did that because she felt like she was a debtor to share that gospel. And she was ready to do it, both eager and prepared, and she wasn't ashamed of who she was. Sometimes I think some of us, somebody says, are you a Christian? Well, you know, I go to church. You know. Like, we're like ashamed of it. Like it's a bad thing or it's something we don't want to admit to. I don't know why that is. All the time. There are certainly a lot of possibilities. It could be fear. It could be worrying about what people think. It could be worry about rejection. It could be fear of upsetting them or losing a friend or any of those things could be the problem. But think about it. What's better for a person to hear the gospel, to hear about the cross of Christ and be angry with you? Or for that person not to hear the gospel, think you're a wonderful person, and then on the day of judgment say, hey, you knew, and you never mentioned him to me. You know, that song it used to be a common, at least heard song, you never mentioned him to me. You know, oh yeah, we might be good friends right now, but what will they think of us then? Better question is, what will God think of us? Will He reward us for being ashamed of Him? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. And if Jesus won't confess us before God the Father, we're sunk. Because the only way we're getting into heaven is on His say-so. We're invited guests. We don't own the place. The only way we're getting in is if we've got permission to get in from the homeowner. We need to realize that we are debtors. We need to get ready. That means being eager, but also being prepared to tell people what the Bible says, to be able to point them to scriptures that will help them understand it better. And then we need to become unashamed and not be ashamed of the gospel, the good news. And if we'll do those things, may never stand in the pulpit up in front of a congregation, but each and every one of us can be a preacher like Paul. We can share the good news of the cross of Christ just like Paul, if we'll do those things. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become one. That gospel, that good news of Christ crucified, He lived a perfect life, He died on that cross, He was buried, He rose again so that you could be saved, so that you could have your sins washed away. If you'll believe in Him and repent of those sins and confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and be willing to be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away, then you can rise and walk a new life. And then you'll be indebted to tell others how God saved you. And you can be ready and not ashamed. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you've been ashamed of what you are, perhaps you haven't been ready to share the gospel with others, perhaps you have some other need, some other sin in your life that's hindering your ability to share the gospel because people can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you're doing. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for any reason, please come as we stand and sing.